This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode 78. Today, we have Sunshine Lechako de Leon back with us. We originally interviewed Sunshine back in episode 65. So if you want her backstory, if you want to know how she got to this point, go and listen to that episode. In today's chat, we talk about Sunshine's fantastic award-winning film, which is called Curiosity, Adventure, and Love. I don't need to explain it here because we talk about it in depth during this episode. It really is a fantastic film, and we discuss how Sunshine came to make this film despite her having no formal film training. So really great episode, and some great insight here into Manila and the Philippines, and I'm sure everyone will enjoy this and take something from it. If you want any show notes, any information, go to www.outsourceaccelerator.com/78. So I'm super excited to be joined again by Sunshine Lechako de Leon. We spoke to her previously, and this time I'm really excited to be talking about her multi-award winning documentary called Curiosity, Adventure, and Love. So I want to just jump straight into this. And do you mind? I'm a huge fan of this documentary. Is it a documentary or a film?
Yes,
or
documentary.
It's officially a documentary. And like, I actually like welled up. I got quite emotional seeing it because I felt quite, for some reason, paternal for Manila, having only spent, you know, 2 or 3 years in Manila watching the film. So it had a really big effect on me, and it's enjoyable, and I encourage everyone to watch it. Can you give us an intro into the film and what it means to you?
Okay, so the film is a blend of, I say it's biography meets humanity meets history. No, history meets, I say that it's history meets biography meets humanity. And basically it blends the story of my grandmother, who's 105 years old now, who's American and came to the Philippines in the 1930s. It blends her life along with the history of the Philippines, which she has personally witnessed since arriving here in the 1930s at the age of 18. And it blends that together with the life lessons of someone who literally has seen the world grow up. Mm. So it is, what does it mean to me? It is, well, it's a life project. I've been working on the film for 7 years, but I've been working on the idea for since 1998, so that's about 20 years, that I became aware that this was a good story to tell. I originally thought it would be a book, and then through some amazing luck, I met a filmmaker who met my grandmother and said, no, you should make a film, and I said, okay, let me make a film. So,
and it's a fascinating
I'm trying to think how to answer that question, what it means to me. It's like, it is the most important thing that I've ever done in my life. I never knew that I would say that when I was working on it. Mm-hmm. But I joke with my friends. It took me 7 years to make this film. And I joke with my friends. I was like, you raised a child, I raised a film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just the realization. It's that feeling that I can't explain when you've had something in you for so long and you didn't understand what it was or what it was capable of being or if it would ever become anything. But suddenly having that actually manifest as something is the most powerful thing that I could ever understand.
It seems like such a story that needed telling because you do it so brilliantly in that you trace the very turbulent times of the Philippines, you know, with the world wars and you know, huge hardship that the country goes through, and then Jesse, who is the main character, obviously, it sort of weaves the story, and she's been through all of it, and she's there narrating through her experiences and direct memories, you know?
It is, the challenge in the story was how to make it, how to explain this. I mean, I'm a first-time filmmaker, so I didn't actually know anything about filmmaking when I started to tell the story. I just knew that we had a good story. And the challenge was how to weave together the different parts.
Mm.
How to weave together her journey to the Philippines, who she was, what she believed in, how she lived her life, with the history of the Philippines, with the insights. She's quite poetic about what she looks, how she sees the world. And when she was 101, the Philippine government gave her honorary citizenship for all the things she's done to help the Filipinos. So,
was she not a citizen?
No, she wasn't. So,
wow.
It's an interesting story to weave together, because the challenge was, how do you weave together the story of a woman with the story of a country with the story of humanity?
Mm.
I mean, because her whole life has been about in service to other people in the spur of the moment. You know what I mean? It wasn't, there was a grand plan. I'm going to give $100,000 to X charity. That was not who she was. It was like, oh, I happened to see this person walking down the street and I talked to them and I found a way that I could help them and I did.
Mm.
So it's a different approach to life that I wanted to show. I wanted to make a film that would get people interested in the history of the Philippines, the people in the Philippines and outside the country, Philippines. I found that both didn't really know much.
Mm.
And I don't claim to be a historian, so it's not a historical film, but my goal was to get people interested enough in the broad strokes of Philippine history that they would want to go learn more.
And it's actually, it's quite a kind of swashbuckling history in a way, isn't it, really? Because it was a very affluent Southeast Asian country originally, wasn't it? You know, it was...
No, I mean, when my grandmother came here, the Philippines... It said it's quote. There's a quote in a movie that the Harper's Magazine called the Philippines the most beautiful capital in Asia. So, And I think it's very important to, I think it's very important for any country or any person or any family to understand their past in order to understand where they can go in the future, and how to reconcile the two.
Mm.
And I think that her story and her experiences give us an interesting perspective on who the country was before the war. And what the country might have done to change the people during the war, and what became of the country after the war. So I think that there's just a lot to learn from her. I think that, I mean, I wanted to make a film that taught history, but I wanted to make a film that also, I call her Nana, and there's a lot of what I wrote down in following her around in my life that I call, quote, Nana-isms, you know, which are just like one-liners about marriage, about love, about trust, about compassion, about whatever. And I thought that those were really important to share. But I think in retrospect, now that I've seen the film's journey from the time that we started introducing the film to the world, I think that Nana has a way of living. I call it Nana's way now. And I think, I hope that the film encourages people to just look at a different way of living, a different lens through which to view life.
Right.
And their opportunities and possibilities and obligations and pains even in life.
Mm.
I think that one of the nicest things someone said to me is, this is a film about the Philippines, but it's actually a film about humanity.
Mm.
Because it shows you the better side of who we can be.
Mm.
And I think...
With Jesse being the main
character. Yeah, with Jesse being the main character. I mean, I set out to make a story about the Philippines and her life and her wisdom, but it's taken on a different life, you know what I mean, of its own. And I'm happy about that. I didn't expect that. But I think that in the age that we're in, where there's a lot of uncertainty and confusion and fear and anger and darkness, I think that...
And it's so sad as well, isn't it, how a country can go from being, you know, one of the most beautiful... cities in the world to being a war zone, yeah, and having to take people in and feed people and
home. I mean, and I think that's one of the things that I learned in making the film, was that the Philippines has gone through these very extreme highs and lows of where they stood in terms of the world community, in terms of just themselves, and you can't, in order to understand where we, anyone, a country, a person, a family is today, you have to understand their history.
Mm.
And that's one of the reasons I made this film, is because I will never claim who or who doesn't know their history, but I will understand that there is always a need to understand it better.
Mm.
And my grandmother provides a different perspective through which to see that history.
Mm.
And that in itself was worth making the film. And I will never say that she's right or anyone's right or wrong, but I think that history is about perspective.
Mm.
And so you need to be able to understand that, right?
And what I took away, not actually knowing the history and seeing the film, was that it, and I can only imagine from the perspective of a Filipino watching it, is that, you know, the country is, has come from greatness, and it's got a very strong backbone, hasn't it? Incredible history. And
I think the people in this country are the biggest asset.
Mm.
And I think that's what my grandmother saw. You think that when she arrived here, she was alone, she didn't know anyone, she didn't have any family, and she met the Filipinos, and she's like, they are home to me.
Mm.
And if they are my family, I'm going to treat them as such. You know what I mean? And so I think the other day I asked her, why did you help the Filipinos? And she said, because they are my people.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I think it's just a matter of like how you look at things. And I think that, I don't know, there's so much that divides us now in this world, right? Like, I think, like, the world that we're in now is a different world. Nana has seen the world divided, and she's seen it come together, and now is dividing again. And so I think that there are probably lessons in her life and in her film, on our film, that we need to remember that we are, we have more in common than there is that which divides us, and that our duty is to help each other. As she says in the film, she said, somewhere along the line, everybody helps us.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And therefore, it's our duty to help other people. It doesn't, she said, you know, there's a time at which you just, someone asked her, how did you survive during the war? And she said, by not thinking about other people. And people asked me, how has your grandmother survived to 105 and be in such good shape? And I was like, I think it's because she doesn't ever believe that she's any older than she ever was. Like, she is who she was at 80. You know what I mean? Or 60. Like,
she seems to have a very resilient.
And then she just, she believes in what she believes in, that doesn't change no matter how old she is. And I know that's a hard thing to understand. It's a hard thing to do, but it's something that she believes that we're all equal, and that no one deserves to be treated better or worse than anybody else.
Yeah.
And that is our duty to help each other. And they're very simple beliefs. What, but is, like, we tend to forget.
What are her thoughts for the future of the Philippines? Is she confident? Is she bullish? Is she?
She sees the world the same regardless of the era we're in.
Mm-hmm.
That we are human beings. We should love each other. We should care for each other and be the fair. You know what I mean? Like,
because she's seen so many sort of political changes.
Yeah, I think
that comes back to the basics. Yeah,
I think that's important to remember that we. Like, despite the political differences, despite the ethnic differences, despite the this or the that, like, who are we?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and what is our role? What is our job as humans? Like, does it matter that I have $100,000 more than you? Should I treat you differently?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Should I care about you differently? No. She would say no.
Mm-hmm.
She said you should never look down on someone because they are not born in the same level you are. You should never, you know?
Yeah.
That is, essentially, that will never change in who she believes. And I think that maybe that's why the film is resonating with people, because it's reminding them of these basic human truths that sometimes we forget, right?
Yeah, they're kind of universal stories, universal truths, and then so it has a high resonation with people, doesn't it?
You know, I mean, we're living in a world in which fear and anger are very prevalent. And fear and anger, I think, are the root of a lot of evil. And the film is the antithesis of that.
Yeah, I mean, it shows a lot of hardship, but there's so much hope in it and so much joy.
It's sort of like we've all been through hell, but we choose how we get out of it.
Mm.
Right? Like, we either get out of it and we believe that.
And then Jessie herself is always so positive?
I mean, it's not without having lost, but it's who she is, and rightly or wrongly. You know what I mean? It's the example that she chooses to follow. I think she just looks at a different... I mean, she lives life on a different beat than most people. I can't explain it. I mean, it's not like she's... It's not like she's perfect or ideal, but she just gives you pause to think about something in a different light. Like, okay, the Japanese occupation and everybody's scared of Japanese sentries and no one wants to talk to them or deal with them. She decides to give him tea. And she decides to give him tea because it's a stormy night. And she says, well, maybe in the future he will treat a Filipino kindly because someone treated him kindly. Mm. It's just a different way of looking at things, right? You and I would probably think, well, why would we do something nice for that man? It's just a different way of looking at things. And I think that there's never a harm in showing that side, because sometimes we need that. We all get stuck in our current ways of life and current ways of thinking. We're busy and we're too busy to do this and do that. And perhaps she reminds us. I mean, like, even I, when I go in an elevator, I mean, this is a funny thing, but every time I go in an elevator, there's always that moment in the elevator where no one looks at each other, right? Because you're like, I'm stuck in the elevator with this person. And because of her, I always have to smile at people in elevators, even if I don't want to.
She's touched you.
Do you know what I mean? Because she reminds me that we're all humans and we're all stuck there together. And like, what's the harm in smiling?
Nice.
You know what I mean? So it's and I can't go in an elevator without smiling. It's horrible. People look at me like I'm strange. But it's just like every time I go in an elevator, I think of her because she reminded me of that one. And sometimes it's those little moments that make the difference in your life, right?
Wow. And then, so this film has been an incredible journey for you, and it was 10 years, 7 years in the making, but effectively 20 years in the
thought process,
in the conceptualization. And then I actually knew you as you were building the movie, and it was very much a nuts and bolts technical build that you were involved in then. But then the film was released, and it's been so popularly received. It's an incredible film, and it's taken on a life of its own. And then, so you've found yourself move into the next phase now, which is the film festivals and the promotions and winning the awards. And you know, did you ever think that it would be such a popularly acclaimed film? Because again, you're coming from a background of you. This is your first film. You are self-taught.
Yeah, no, I can honestly say I'm coming from background at which I had no idea what I was doing. No, I was telling someone recently that it's like a dream that you never dreamed of coming true. My dream, if I had one, was just to finish the film and to have my grandmother able to see the film. Because she was already 104 by the time I finished it. So you can imagine trying to make a film between the age of someone's age 98 to 104. Every year, people are reminding you how old she is and that you should finish the film soon.
And everywhere, your predominant motivator was for the film to be a tribute to your...
You know, honestly, to be perfectly honest, I didn't have a plan. So when you say your predominant motivator is, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, I wish I was more strategic. I didn't really have a set plan. All I knew was in my gut that this story had to be told. Other than that, I had no rules of how to do it, when to do it, how long it would cost, how long it would do it, what would happen next, like zero, for better or worse. I mean, I think if I did, I wouldn't have done it. So it was to my blessing that I didn't understand what I was trying to do. But I think that my worry was that she wouldn't see the film. And I had this weird feeling that if I didn't finish the film while she was still alive, it would never get done. Mm-hmm. And it would haunt me. So I needed to finish the film while she was still alive to see it. Of course, one never knows how long a 102-year-old will live.
Yeah.
So I was racing against I was racing against this invisible time clock, which is hard to explain. But all I knew was it needed to be done soon. But I, you have to understand, I didn't have a plan of how I was going to do it or who I was going to do with it, when it was going to be done. It was a lot of luck. It was a lot of luck and just like hoping for the best and seeing an opportunity and ticking and just praying that that was the right idea. And I mean, to this day, I'm sort of sitting here going, a year later, going, oh my God, the film is done and people like it. I mean, it never occurred to me when I was making the film, what would people think of it? Because I was so obsessed with just finishing it. You know what I mean? For me, it was never like about making money or being famous or having this global message. It was just like, I need to finish the film that I've been working on for a very long time. And I need to make the film one that I'm proud of. It didn't need to be famous. I didn't think beyond finishing the film. And maybe that was naive, or maybe it was just a function of like where I was, and I couldn't think beyond that moment. But so now that it has gone, well, now that we've won awards and we've had much greater reception than I can ever dream of, I tell people it's like a dream I never had coming true. I don't really know. It's like, wow. You know, this is amazing. Like, I created it. It's slowly dawned on me. Like, friends will say to me every once in a while, oh, you created a work of art. And I was like, I did? You know, they're like, yeah, this is always going to be here. And I was like, it is? Like, you don't understand what you're creating when you create it. You just create it because it's in you and you have to create it. And I'm thrilled now that people love it, but it was never the goal in creating it. And so now that the response has been as overwhelmingly positive as it is, it's driven me further to do everything I can to make sure that the film gets to as many people who want to see it as possible, in as many formats as possible. Like, at this point, the project is not about money. It's about impact. And my grandmother asked me the other day, she said, every time I tell her, okay, what's happening with the film, I report back to her and I give her messages that people give her. And she looked at me the other day, she goes, are you making money off of it, I hope? I said, well, no, but I'm working on it. I said, but it's impacted lots and lots of people. And she said, okay, that's good. You know what I mean? And so I never set out to make this film to make money, because in the beginning people said to me, documentaries never make money. And I was like, okay, well, I'm doing this because just because I think it's a really good idea. And I think it's one that can touch people and impact people.
And the proof's in the pudding there, isn't it? It's been the proof's in the pudding.
I guess the proof's in the pudding. I mean,
story, and it's
I've gotten an amazing response. Like, people are asking me from all over the world to see it, which is really great. Now I'm trying to figure out how to get it to them. But you make a film because you sometimes. I guess this has to do with everything that you create. I think you create something because I never had this experience. I didn't understand this. I never considered myself a creative person per se. But now when people ask me, how did this happen? What was the story? Da, 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 I think, well, actually, it was always in my gut. I don't remember. It's hard for me to remember a time when I didn't believe that this had to be done. I didn't know what, quote, this was. I just knew that we had this amazing woman with interesting stories that people really found interesting, and we had this country that no one knew about. It took me years to form the idea. But the concept, the gut plant, was always there. And I just, luckily, I never let go. I think that people sometimes do. And the biggest lesson I can tell people from my own experience is don't let go. Because I had this lesson in 1998. That was 20 years ago when I first thought, oh my God, Nana is really cool. We have to tell her stories. We have to use this for something. I didn't know what that something was. It took me 10 more years to figure out that it would be a film. But I think the best lesson I can offer is when you have something that you can't let go of and you don't understand why, you have to just let it sit there. Because it took me 10, 15 years before I understood what I was to do. And it took me another 8 years to figure out who I was going to work with. You know, like, you just have to... And my friends, like, literally, when I showed the film in New York, and I showed it... When I showed New York particular, I mean, I'd lived in New York for 10 years, and my friends that came to the film, and they were like... So many of them were like, sunshine. I remember when we had coffee 15 years ago, and you told me about this. I remember when we talked about this 10 years ago. Like, they all remember I was always talking about this. But I didn't know in the days that I was talking about it that I had absolutely no idea what I was talking about. Mm. I just said, I'm going to make this film. I have to tell the story. But I had no idea the practicality of how it was going to be done. So I think the most important thing for me was to understand and to advise people, don't let go of that. If you have something that keeps staying in you, you don't understand the how, why, when, where, who, the practicality, just wait. Keep it there. Because it like, I went, I built other careers, I did other things, you know what I mean? But when I never let go, and I kept saying it to myself, when half the time I would say it to myself, I had absolutely no clue what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. People would say, how's your film? I'm like, it's fine, but I had no plan. You know what I mean? And so you just have to, and sitting back now, it's like the greatest thing I've done in my life. There are many things I've done that I'm happy and excited and proud of, but this one, it was a thing that I never dreamed would give me.
And it's evergreen now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's evergreen. I never dreamed that it would give me as much satisfaction and joy as it has, and probably will lead me to my next project. I don't know what it is yet.
Okay, hope you enjoyed that and learned a lot and got a lot of insight into the depth and complexity of the history of Manila. So I'm really a great fan of Curiosity, Adventure, and Love. If you do want to know more, I certainly encourage you to check out the film. Go to our show notes, and that is at outsourceaccelerator.com/78. And if you want to ask us anything, drop us an email at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com.